Chapter 12. I was led out of the colorful tent and the huge wooden meeting house, and I noticed the outside of the building was decorated with strange, stylized characters and people in scenes of war or hunting. The massive double doors had the most carvings on its surface. On either side of the door were a series of symbols that I didn't know the meaning of, but their geometric balance was incredible. I wasn't given much time to appreciate the artistic symmetry of the carvings because the doors were opened quickly and I was ushered inside. The building seemed to mostly consist of one large room filled with long tables and benches, but here and there I saw one of the colorful cushions arranged around the braziers. The hall was also filled with dozens of Dolrath warriors. The elves sat around the hall, laughing, drinking, and singing. But at the head of the hall, on a raised dais, was a fierce-looking woman in black armor. If she'd been human, I would have guessed she was in her 40s, but in crazy good shape, and she watched the rowdy antics of her soldiers with a mysterious, tolerant smile. I knew without being told this was Ekname, the Dolrath chief. There were straight-backed guards on either side of her, and an elegantly dressed night-elf man in silken robes sat next to her, but in a chair that sat slightly lower than hers. Ekname had long, black hair held back in braids, with silver and gold cuffs that set off the streaks of silver in the raven mass. She was tall for a night elf, even when seated, and her skin was a deep blue tone. The chief's eyes were bright red and piercing, and they were made all the grander by the elaborate eye makeup, seemingly common among the Dolrath women. As I was led up toward the dais, I scanned the room for Amrila and spotted her near the dais. I'd never seen her look so angry, and I knew immediately why she was pissed. Someone had taken her leather armor and given her a pale yellow silk dress in its place, and the dress was intricately laced at the bodice and scandalously low-cut. She looked incredibly sexy. There was something about the light, buttery color that really complemented her reddish skin tone. But from the deadly look in her coal-black eyes, I decided I would never tell her.
Great chief!
Bakoth declared in a ringing voice when we stopped before the dais.
I present to you Eddie, King of the Tektris Forest Goblins.
It took effort not to roll my eyes. From Bakoth's tone, I couldn't tell if he was aware I wasn't actually the king of some forest in the Twilight Region, or if he thought my kingship was a source of humor. Either way, the captain was an enigma to me. He'd been respectful and polite enough, but there was a strange undercurrent of, I don't give a fuck about him, too. Chief Ekname stared at me without blinking, so I awkwardly stepped up to the foot of the dais and nodded my head to the woman in black armor. Bakoth hadn't bowed, so I didn't either.
Should I refer to you as Your Highness?
The chief asked with an arched eyebrow.
Or is Eddie sufficient between leaders?
Eddie is fine, ma'am, I said, and I straightened up as I tried to look more confident than I felt in that moment.
I am Ekname of the Dolrath,
the older woman said in a commanding voice that reached the back of the hall, even over the din of the warriors.
You should know I am aware of who you are. Though the likeness on Ursinger's posters does not do you justice, my men recognized you right away. What I need from you right now, Eddie, is a very good reason why I shouldn't turn you over to the Yeni.
As my partner Amrila can confirm, I said as I indicated the horned woman fuming in the silk dress, we think we know who's behind the attacks that have been happening all over the gloom. A beat passed as Ekname studied me, and the warriors at my back seemed to quiet down a few decibels.
I'm listening,
the chief finally said in a stern voice, but I noticed her eyes darted briefly toward the elegant man sitting next to her. Several days ago, I started as I looked over at Amrila, my partner and I were exploring near the lake in the west.
The one south of the Crystal Forest.
The Zinkari woman added as she stood. And we found a group of gnomes. I continued. They were all terribly mutilated, much like the reports of other attacks. Their bodies were still there several hours ago, but they'd been picked over by the beetles.
By the gods.
Ekname breathed. But while we looked over the bodies, I went on as my voice grew stronger. We were attacked by a creature covered in a shadow that moved with it.
It was a lesser demon.
Amrila interjected and came to stand next to me.
It had some kind of glamour that surrounded it. It controlled the shadows and wore them as a robe. I'd never heard or seen such a thing before.
There was a stir in the hall when Amrila mentioned the demon. Some stood and looked at Ekname. Others exchanged dark looks with each other. But the man in the silk robes didn't react at all. He just sat in his chair with no change in expression. I tried not to look at the strange man, but he felt out of place with the Dolrath warriors in the hall, and I watched him out of the corner of my eye. "There's more!" I shouted over the commotion. "On our way here to tell you about the gnomes and the shadow creature, we found 6 Dolrath warriors dead on the road. One of them had this pendant on them." I pulled the silver pendant with the arrow charm out of my pocket and held it up for the chief to see. Ekname stood, descended the dais, and took the pendant from me.
"This is Harkin's symbol,"
she said in a quiet tone to me, and her red eyes flicked up to meet mine.
"He is one of my strongest warriors. You said all of his men were dead as well."
"There were 5 others with him," I replied as a feeling of sympathy rose in my chest. I could see the stricken look in the powerful woman's eyes, and I felt for her. But then Ekname straightened, as if remembering herself.
"How do we know this goblin and his Sinkari horde did not kill them?"
a male voice asked from behind them before the chief could respond. I turned and saw a smug-faced Dolrath warrior in his black beetle armor, and he was sitting with his exposed arms crossed in a way meant to accentuate their muscles. I stood to my full height, which put me head and shoulders over any of the night elf warriors gathered in the hall, and then I deliberately looked down my nose at him. "If I was the kind of man to up and kill 6 soldiers," I said as I allowed the venom I felt to leak into my tone, "then I wouldn't likely just hand over my weapon and surrender myself, would I?" The warrior scowled but obviously didn't have a rebuttal, so I turned back to the chief and looked her in the eyes. "I came here and brought this pendant willingly," I continued in a quiet voice, "because you as their leader deserve to know what had become of your men." A moment of silence passed as the Dolrath chief and I locked eyes, and I willed her to see the sincerity and honesty in my face.
"Thank you for bringing me this,"
Ekname finally said as she turned and mounted the dais again.
"But I have yet to hear a reason why I should not turn you over to Ursinger. The accusations against you are quite serious. More serious than the kind deed you have done for my tribe."
"I'm assuming you mean the story that I kidnapped the princess," I asked blandly.
"Did you?"
Ekname raised an ebony-colored eyebrow as she sat back down.
"Eddie did not kidnap anyone,"
Amrila declared in a challenging tone.
"He is the finest of men, kind and generous. Eddie is as wealthy as any chief, so he has no need to steal women. If you wish to find who is at fault for the princess's disappearance, look no further than her debauched brother and his unnatural attention toward her."
"We have all heard the unsavory rumors,"
the chief replied in a neutral tone.
"But do you know where the Lady Ibsith is?"
The question hung in the air for a moment, and a wave of tension washed over the hall. But I decided that if Ekname were to ever trust me, I would have to trust her a little first. "Yes," I said simply. "I do." There were audible gasps around the meeting house.
"And are you going to tell me?"
Ekname asked in a low voice. "No, ma'am," I replied as I met her red-eyed gaze dead on. "Ibsith is safe and happy, which is what she deserves. I wouldn't tell you where she is for all the riches in the gloom." The briefest hint of a smile touched the corners of the chief's mouth, but it disappeared quickly as she sat a little straighter in her high-backed chair. Again, I saw as the warrior woman glanced sideways toward the man sitting next to her, and I wondered who he was.
"You are not giving me much to work with,"
Ekname said in a scolding tone.
"What if we told you there is reason to believe Ursinger himself is behind the attacks plaguing the 3 tribes?"
Amrila replied.
"I thought you said it was a lesser demon that was responsible,"
the night elf man in the silk robe said in a rich voice. It was the first time the man had spoken, and I watched the chief for her reaction, but Ekname's face remained stoic and impossible to read. "But what made that demon leave its territory in the Twilight region?" I fired back in a challenging tone and then looked to Amrila.
Lesser demons don't just abandon their swamps and caves,
the horned woman said after catching my encouraging glance.
Someone would have had to have driven out, or made a deal with it.
Are you suggesting the chief of the Yeni has had dealings with demons?
Ekname asked as she shrewdly narrowed her red eyes.
There is reason to believe the Mad Chief has gone even further than consorting with lesser demons.
Amrila placed her hands on her hips and met the Dolrath Chief's gaze without flinching.
We have information Ursinger has made a pact with a demon lord of the deeper dark.
The sudden din in the hall was almost deafening as Dolrath warriors stood and shouted. Some pounded on the tables while others hit their swords against their shields. And I was shocked the red-skinned woman's simple statement had elicited such a strong reaction from the Night Elves. Ibsith and Amrila had both told me the legends about the Yeni tribe binding the demon lords in the darkest regions of the caves after some kind of war. Now, the Yeni were supposed to be responsible for keeping the worst of the demons and other monsters locked away, somewhere below the Twilight region. It was the reason the Yeni became the most powerful of the Night Elf tribes, and the central clause of the treaties that kept the balance of power in the gloom. When my horned partner first told me the stories, she'd made it sound like it was just a legend, and one she didn't entirely believe in. But from the reaction of the warriors around me, it was clear they believed in the legends, and we'd just suggested Ursinger had broken one of their most sacred laws.
Enough!
Ekname shouted over the chaos as she stood to her feet. It took a moment, but the throng gathered in the hall settled and grew still.
Do you know what you are implying, Zenkari?
The dark-haired chief asked the horned woman.
If Ursinger has broken the treaty, that is not only treason, but the harbinger of death and destruction in the gloom.
Not if we stop him, I said calmly but loudly enough to be heard throughout the hall.
What?
Ekname turned to me and blinked like she was caught off guard by my composed response. If Ursinger has broken your laws, I continued as if we weren't surrounded by a small army of hardened warriors. Then the Dolrath, the Karardu, and all the people of the gloom have to rise up against him.
Why would Ursinger attack his own people?
The man in the silk robes interjected.
The Yeni have been seeing these attacks too. What would this supposed ruse serve?
I do not need you to speak for me, Vemin,
the chief said over her shoulder to the mysterious man. It was the first time I'd seen Ekname look annoyed with the man, and I got the weird vibe that they might be sleeping together. The older warrior woman was the one in charge, and Vemin had just stuck his toe over a line.
Do you have any proof of what you say?
Ekname turned back to me and asked in a quiet but dangerous tone. No, I replied, but I know some people who might. This is the reason we have come to your territory. These demons pose a risk to all who live in the gloom. I want to stop them, and any who controls them. But I might require some assistance. The older elven woman sat back in her chair with surprising grace, and then she leveled a gaze at Amrila and I while she considered her next words.
The Dolrath cannot stand against Ursinger or the Yeni merely on your words and speculations,
Ekname finally declared. I pursed my lips and wanted to argue, but she went on before I could.
But you have done me a service, King Eddie of the Tectris Forest,
the chief said.
And it would be poor thanks to arrest you and turn you over to the Yeni.
Ekname made a small gesture with her hand, and one of the guards next to her turned and took something from a small table at the back of the dais. When the soldier turned back, I saw he was handing the chief a leaf of parchment on a tray, along with a small inkwell and a little metal device I didn't recognize.
I will allow you to leave, with my thanks,
the raven-haired chief continued as she wrote something on the paper.
For informing me of my fallen soldiers and the creature menacing my land.
But! Vemin started to speak, but he was silenced by one look from Ekname.
However,
the warrior woman concluded as her guard handed her a candle, and she poured some of its wax on the paper.
I would warn you not to make any more accusations unless you have supporting proof.
The chief pressed the metal device into the wax, folded the paper, and handed it to her guard, who stepped down off the dais and handed it to me. When I looked at the paper, the strange writing had no meaning to me, but I tried not to let anything show on my face. I'd have Amrila tell me what it said later. At the bottom of the brief note was the wax seal that Ekname placed there. I handed the note to Amrila without saying anything, and then the red-skinned woman looked it over and nodded to me. So I took that to at least mean the message wasn't bad news. "Thank you, Chief Ekname," I said, as I inclined my head and pretended like I knew what the fuck was going on.
"Your weapons and other belongings will be returned to you on the outskirts of the city,"
she replied in a tone of clear dismissal.
"Captain Bakoth and his warriors will see you out."
I nodded my head to her again, though I noticed the Zinkari woman simply turned her back on the chief, and by the time we turned to leave the meeting hall, Bakoth and his soldiers were already gathering around us.
"I can't wait to get out of this ridiculous dress,"
Amrila hissed as we were escorted out of the hall. I looked the red-skinned woman up and down, and noted how the soft, silky fabric clung to her firm body. The color also brought out the blonde of her hair, and contrasted beautifully with her ruddy skin tone. But then, the black-eyed woman caught me looking, and her expression darkened.
"What?"
she asked with a raised eyebrow. "Nothing," I grinned innocently. "I didn't say anything."
"A truly wise man,"
Bakoth said next to me with an amused expression.
"I fucking hate dresses,"
the horned woman huffed as one of the soldiers held the door open for us, and she stomped out of the hall. The Dolrath warriors walked with us to the edge of the Tent City, where two Night Elf servants were waiting with our gear in their arms. The Zinkari woman and I accepted our stuff from the servants, and Bakoth watched with a great deal of interest as I slung my Galil over my shoulder.
"May I ask," the red-headed elf said in his usual stoic tone, "what is that thing? I was looking at it while you bathed, and all I can glean is that it might fire projectiles."
I was impressed by the enigmatic captain. Nothing much seemed to get past him. "Maybe if we ever meet again, I'll show you how it works," I said without confirming or denying anything. I liked the captain, but it was better to keep some things close to the vest.
"Well,"
Bakoth replied with a wry smile,
"I hope we'll be on friendly terms then."
"Me too," I grinned at the man.
"I wish you luck, Goblin Eddie."
He bowed slightly.
"Let's go, Eddie,"
Amrila butted in.
"I need to find a rock to change behind, or else I will rip off this dress and put on my leathers here and now."
"All right, I'm coming," I chuckled and waved goodbye to the captain and his men. Then the horned woman and I headed north and followed the river that ran next to the Dolrath encampment.
"There's a cave up this way that leads to the tunnels near Bermshire,"
Amrila said from behind an outcropping where she was changing back into her armor. "That's good," I replied, and I attempted to untie the Dolrath shirt, gave up, and just put my fatigue jacket over it. "We can see if Scourge is around. I think he'd be interested in our information about the Lesser Demon. And we can ask him about getting proof of what Ursinger's up to."
"Look at you,"
Amrila giggled from the other side of the outcropping.
"Thinking like a resistance fighter."
As I bent to pull off the soft cloth pants the Dolrath had given me and put my fatigues back on, I caught a glimpse of Amrila's red skin peeking out from behind the rocks. The Zinkari woman wasn't fully obscured from my sight, and I could see the long line of her bare back, hips, and firm ass. My blood immediately started to heat up at the sight of Amrila's incredible body. But I tore my eyes away like a gentleman and finished dressing. The horned woman and I had flirted off and on in the past, and we were both clearly attracted to each other, but she still needed to be the one to make up her mind. I wasn't familiar with all the customs of Night Elf culture, and I definitely didn't know much about the Zinkari, but I knew if Amrila and I slept together, we would be married in Ibsith's eyes. If I fucked Amrila and she decided to leave later on, it would break Ibsith's heart, which was the last thing I wanted. But I still wanted Amrila, and the urge to be with her grew stronger the more time we spent together. I was lacing up my boots as the red-skinned woman came back around the outcropping. Amrila was adjusting her breasts and the bodice of her armor, and I nearly choked.
"What?"
Amrila asked innocently, but her smile was both frank and mysterious somehow.
"If they don't sit in there the right way, it's very distracting."
"Distracting?" I repeated as I tried to suppress the flush I felt in my face. "I'll bet. Hey, what did the note from Ekname say?"
"It just guarantees a safe passage through the Dolrath lands,"
the Zinkari woman sighed.
"Ekname, what a blithering fool."
I picked up my backpack and the Galil ace, and then I checked the Glock on my belt before we started back toward the Yeni territory. I was actually surprised at how reasonable she was, I replied as the horned woman fell into step beside me. I mean, We accused another chief of breaking the treaty that makes their whole society work. That was a pretty big swing, and she let us go anyway. Not to mention the bounty on both of us. Lord knows how big it is by now.
She's still a fool.
Amrila scoffed.
Ursinger is playing the tribes like a lute, and by the time they wake up from his lullaby, it'll be too late.
Who do you think that one guy in the fancy robes was? I asked as we picked our way over the rocky terrain along the subterranean river. Vimin, I think his name was.
He's the chief's plaything,
the red-skinned woman said with a knowing smile.
Some of the warriors were talking about it before you came into the hall. No one seems to like him.
I didn't like him much either, I agreed. I can't put my finger on why. He just seemed slimy. We followed the river upstream as it flowed northeast and ended at a small underground lake. It reminded me of the lake not far from Bermshire, near the gloom growth, right down to the waterfall that came down from the rock ceiling. But as the lake came into sight, the Zinkari woman and I heard shouts echoing from somewhere nearby. The voices were distorted by the echo, and I couldn't make out what they were saying, just that there was more than one person speaking. Can you tell where that's coming from? I asked Amrila. The red-skinned woman grew still, and her black eyes looked distant for a moment as she listened.
East of us, I think,
she replied after a moment.
Do you want to see what it is?
I think we should. I nodded as I looked to the east where the edge of the lake hooked. How comfortable are you with using the AK if there's trouble?
Depends on the trouble.
The horned woman shrugged.
If it's just a bunch of Yenny soldiers, we could shoot them down before they knew what happened. But outside of that, I'm not very precise and prefer my swords.
Fair enough, I said, and added more shooting practice to my list of things to do. Put on your ear protection, and try to keep me in your line of sight. We won't be able to talk to each other easily, but if we can see one another, we can signal each other. I set my backpack on the ground as the shouts continued, and then I quickly found my headphones and put them around my neck. The Zinkari woman did the same, and once we had our backpacks back on, we started to walk toward where the red-skinned woman thought the voices were coming from. We had to go around the hook of the lake, so by the time we reached the place where the commotion was, we could clearly hear what the shouts were about. And there was one commanding female voice that seemed to rise above the rest.
Circle!
The woman commanded.
Stay in formation!
On the far side of the lake, the cave floor was dotted with rockfall, and a patch of gloom mushrooms thrived along the shore, which gave the cavern the eerie blue glow of the gloom. In the center of the open space, a group of four Dolrath stood in a circle with their backs together. They were surrounded by a ring of small but monstrous creatures. The warrior facing Amriel and I was a young night elf woman with her mass of black hair tied back with a ring of beaten silver, and in her hands was a long glimmering blade that she swung in a low, dangerous arc as she focused on the enemies before her.
Hold!
The dark-haired woman warned her warriors as they watched the monsters hesitate to attack. The creatures surrounding the Dolrath soldiers were a collection of nightmares. Each one was uglier than the last. Four of them were gruesome, 4-foot-tall fiends with strangely oblong heads and grayish-green skin, like a corpse. Their mouths were filled with razor-sharp teeth that dripped saliva, and their sinewy arms seemed too long for their small bodies. They also held ramshackle weapons that looked as if they'd been scavenged from other races, but the other creatures were worse. The second type of monsters were bone-thin, long-bodied horrors with blue-black skin hanging from them in jingling flaps. Their faces were strangely human, but with X-shaped mouths and prehensile appendages that protruded from each of the four corners. Each of the appendages were surmounted by dripping wet, yellow fangs, and the nightmares made gargling, hissing noises in the backs of their throats. What the ungodly fuck? I breathed from behind a large rock where Amrila and I took in the terrifying scene.
Goblins and bog devils.
The horned woman answered.
The devils are probably so bound to the goblins. If we kill them, the devils will likely disappear.
Probably. Likely? I repeated with a snort. As long as you're certain. Amrila chuckled as I looked around the rock and tried to come up with a game plan. There were a few small bodies already limp on the ground, so these warriors were clearly capable, and to the right of them was a large overhang that could be used to gain the advantage of high ground, if they could get to it. Okay. I said as I took a steadying breath. You run out and try to usher those soldiers onto the rocks. I'll cover you. The sound of my rifle should also serve as a temporary distraction. Once all of you are on the overhang, you'll have an advantage, and I'll be down here picking off goblins and devils for you. Behind the rock, Amriel and I were fairly close together, and when I turned to confirm she'd heard me, our faces were only inches apart. The Zinkari woman's eyes were hooded, and her pouty lips were slightly parted.
"You're very sexy when you're thinking tactically,"
she purred, and the look she gave me was very direct. "Later, partner." I smiled wolfishly at her. "And don't forget to put on your headphones." Amriel wrinkled her nose at me in mock annoyance as she put her ear protection on, and then she sauntered lithely out from behind the rock as she unsheathed her swords in a smooth motion. I smiled, placed my headphones securely over my own ears, over my safety glasses, and turned them on. Then I stood, looked over the rock I was now using as cover, and shouldered my Galil. To make sure the red-skinned woman and the Dolrath wouldn't be in my first shot, I aimed at the goblin furthest to the left, and if my shot was lucky enough, I could maybe even get the goblin just behind him. As Amriel started to run toward the knot of soldiers, the dark-haired night elf shouted for her men to keep their formation, and her eyes were searching for something. Then Amriel let loose a battle cry as she came into swinging distance of a goblin on the right of the soldiers, and soon the Zinkari woman was clearing the way to the overhang. Adrenaline started to pump through me as I watched the soldiers and monsters turn to look at the newcomer, and as my heart pounded against my chest, I took a deep breath, aimed at the goblin on the far left, and squeezed the trigger. I felt the kick of the Galil, but I had my right foot firmly planted behind me, and the goblin on the left's head exploded in a spray of blood, bone fragments, and gray matter. Once again, the Pro-X headphones muted the world around me as the blast of the Galil activated them. These things were fucking sweet. The Dolrath and the creatures all stopped in their tracks at the sound of the rifle firing. Some grabbed their ears, while others ducked and looked up to see if the ceiling was caving in. Amriel took advantage of the confusion and cut a goblin's head clean off its shoulders with a powerful swipe of her sword.
"This way!"
The Zinkari woman started shouting to the soldiers and gesturing toward the overhang, but I knew their ears would be ringing for my shot. Then I took aim at the other goblin on the left of the knot of soldiers and fired again. This time my bullet pierced the grayish fucker's chest and threw him back toward the edge of the lake and the stand of gloom mushrooms. The sound of the shot echoed through the cavern and added to the chaos, but for me there was just a momentary silence because of my awesome headphones. A few yards behind the horned woman, I saw one of the bog devils break and run, and its loose skin flapped away from its jagged body as it booked it away from the fight. But then, my stomach suddenly felt like it was filled with ice as I saw a spectral, shadowy hand reach out from around the overhang and grab the devil around its neck. Shit, not this guy again. The shadow creature stepped out from around the tumble of boulders as it lifted the flabby devil into the air. The bog devil's mouth appendages writhed in pain as it was lifted. And then the lesser demon threw the beast into the center of the soldiers, who had leapt out of the way. Fucking hell. Amriel grabbed the nearest warrior, a man with closely cropped white hair and a short sword, and she pulled him behind the rocks on the opposite side of the demon. The dark-haired leader of the Dolrath seemed undaunted by the shadow creature, and she took a step forward and ran her huge sword through the belly of the now prone devil on the ground. I could hear the shriek of the bog devil, even through my headphones, but the Dolrath captain was shouting again and gestured toward the overhang with her sword. I didn't have a clean shot from my position, but I also wasn't about to go running up to the lesser demon after last time. Not yet, at least. My stomach was tight, and I could feel the sweat start to prickle my forehead. "Come on, dumbasses," I muttered to myself. "Listen to her. Run for the rocks and get the fuck out of my way." The shadowy demon fucker started to move forward as the two devils and the last remaining goblin began to close in on the Dolrath. The soldiers turned and ran toward the overhang and tried to climb up to the side as quickly as they could, but their leader ran right for the lesser demon with her longsword held high. Shit. At least I had a clear shot on the last two bog devils. I aimed at the one on the far right and squeezed the trigger of the Galil as I tracked the movement of the jiggling abomination. The first bullet hit, and I watched as skin and flab flew off the thing like jello being hit by a baseball bat. But the creature turned its fugly face toward me and screamed, and its finger-like fangs bent and stretched in a stomach-churning display. Then the devil began to run toward me, and its flappy white zombie skin rippled through its skeletal frame as it moved. Ah, fuck. I squeezed the trigger again and again and sent a rain of bullets ripping through the devil as bits and chunks of flesh flew through the air. I tried not to gag, and I breathed in and aimed right for the monster's face. As I exhaled and squeezed the trigger one more time, the bog devil's head snapped back and its feet were swept out from under it. I tore my eyes from the dead devil on the ground and looked over to the overhead and the shadow creature. The raven-haired warrior was taking long, heavy swipes at the shadow creature, and she was actually managing to drive it back. I watched the movements of the lesser demon, and they seemed more sluggish than the last time I'd fought it. It only took a millisecond for me to realize why. The Dolrath captain was pushing the demon toward the gloom mushrooms. Even though they only gave off a dim light, it must have been enough to slow down the shadow creature, and the warrior woman was clever enough to realize it. I looked at the overhang and saw the Zinkari woman and the other soldiers making quick work of the final goblin and bog devil. I knew Amrila had this, so I lowered my rifle and ran out from behind the rock, right at the shadow demon. As I got within 20 yards of the demon and the black-haired woman, I saw the shadow creature shimmer, as if it were trying to teleport, like it had in my first encounter with it. But the light of the gloom mushrooms must have been too much for it, because the fucker remained solid and shrieked in frustration. I put on a burst of speed to close the gap, since I knew my Galil was useless against it. But then the demon got pissed that it couldn't use its powers in the dim blue light, and it darted toward the Dolrath leader. The raven-haired woman tried to parry with her huge sword, but couldn't bring it up in time, and two black, bony hands shot out from the shadows, knocked the sword aside, and wrapped themselves around her neck. Then the demon started to lift the night elf into the air, and the warrior dropped her sword and grabbed the demon's hands to stop it from choking her. I was finally within a few yards of the rotting fucker, and I lifted my hand to my headlamp. "Hey, handsome!" I shouted, and the demon and woman both looked at me in surprise. "Remember me?" Then I clicked on the headlamp and tried to direct it right at the shadow demon's face, and the light broke through the living darkness around the lesser demon and lit up the thing's face for one heartbeat. The demon screamed again as its skull-like face was revealed, and then its jaws worked in some blasphemous mockery of speech. I couldn't understand what it said, but the demon's voice was like grinding rocks, and somehow I could hear it clearly, even through my headphones. It was almost like it spoke right into my brain. Then it dissipated into the beam of light, and the Dolrath woman fell to the ground coughing. I ripped the headlamp off and began to shine the beam all around me to make sure the hideous fucker was really gone. And once I was sure it was safe, I looked over to the overhang where Amrila and the soldiers had been cleaning up the last of the demon's minions. The Zinkari woman was already running toward me, and a proud and fierce smile tugged at her soft mouth as she pulled off her headphones. I pulled off my headphones too, and smiled back at the horned woman, and then I crouched down to help the Dolrath captain to her feet. The dark-haired woman was still coughing from having been choked, but she instinctively turned to check on her men, who were looking over the dead minions.
"Thank the gods you found us!"
the warrior woman shouted, so her ears were probably still ringing from the rifle fire. "It's our pleasure!" I yelled back so she could hear me.
"The ringing won't last,"
Amrila said loudly as she grinned.
"Trust me, it'll go away in an hour or two. Who are you two?"
the dark-haired woman yelled as she studied us. Up close, I could see the Dolrath captain was an extraordinary beauty. The warrior had a strong, well-defined nose, high cheekbones, and large blue eyes. And there was something unexpected about her attractiveness that had so much to do with how she held herself as her actual looks.
"I'm Eddie, and this is Amrila,"
I said as I introduced myself and my partner.
"I am Nylamay,"
the warrior woman replied loudly as she held a muscular arm up to her chest.
"The daughter of Chief Ekname. I owe you both a debt for helping us with the demon. We had been hunting it for some time and had finally discovered where it was hiding, but then it summoned these goblins and devils and we were outnumbered."
"Wait, the demon was working with those other creatures?" I frowned. "I saw it throw that bog devil, though."
"I believe it was punishing the devil for trying to run,"
Nylamay said with a dark expression. "Shit. That means it's more intelligent than I thought," I muttered half to myself. This wasn't particularly good news.
"Yes, but you chased it off with your beam of fire,"
the dark-haired woman said as her blue eyes flicked to my headlamp.
"You saved our lives."
"We couldn't just stand by and do nothing.
I shrugged. I just wish I knew what that thing said before it disappeared.
Oh, I can tell you,
Amrila said.
It was speaking Enochian, the language of the Twilight Region.
And the Deeper Dark.
Nilame interjected as she eyed the Zenkari woman.
And the Deeper Dark.
The horned woman agreed, and she rolled her eyes before she turned to me.
It said it was going to kill you the next time it sees you.
That's comforting, I snorted.
What it said specifically,
Amrila went on,
was that it was going to suck your soul out through your nostrils. But I feel a little something is lost in translation.
You don't seem especially worried a demon is threatening to eat my soul, I replied with a raised eyebrow.
You're King Eddie of the Tektris Forest,
the red-skinned woman said as she tried to suppress a smile.
Why should I be worried? Besides, I think I know how Nilame here can pay back her debt.
Oh.
Nilame asked as she raised an eyebrow and glanced at my lips for a split second.